Will the members please show their presence by voting? Has any member failed to vote? Will the clerk please take the roll?
Thirty-six present, four absent.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, no one is excused from the call of the House today.
The prayer today is by Pastor Robert McNabb of the Douglas Methodist Church. Will the members please rise for the prayer? Will the chief clerk please certify as to the correctness of the previous day's journal?
As chief clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 94th day.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 94th day be approved as certified by the chief clerk.
There's no objection. The journal for the 94th day be approved. Record also show that Representative Parker and Representative McKinnon are present. Are there guests for introduction to the House today? Representative Duncan.
Mr. Speaker, I believe the guests are here in Gallery A. I can't see them for sure, but there's supposed to be some Girl Scouts over there.
They're here.
They're here? Okay, I'd like to read their name. They're from Floyd Dryden Junior High, which is located in Mendenhall Valley. With us today, Girl Scout Shannon Kroll, Shelley Matheson, Mary Cartmill, Maya Ebona, Katrina Wilkins, Amy Jo McCauley, Mara Spence, Flora Jones, Peggy Cartmill, and the leader, Diane Ebona.
Representative Metcalf.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, we have an assemblyman from Anchorage, which is also, the gentleman is also from my district, Don Smith in Gallery B.
Are there further guests for introduction? Messages from the Governor.
Dear Mr. Speaker, I've signed the following and I'm transmitting the engrossed and enrolled copies to the Lieutenant Governor's office for permanent filing. Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 44, making supplemental appropriations to the Legislative Affairs Agency and providing for an effective date. Chapter 19, SLA 1979. Signed sincerely, J.S. Hammond, Governor. I have no further messages from the Governor, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, the Senate has passed Committee Substitute for Second Sponsor Substitute for House Bill Number 31, creating the Delta Junction Bison Range area with the following amendments. This has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk. And so, Committee Substitute for Second Sponsor Substitute for House Bill Number 31, amended Senate, is transmitted for consideration. The Senate has passed Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 32, Special Appropriations in the Power Project Revolving Fund of the Alaska Power Authority, effective date, with the following amendment. Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 32, same title, and it is transmitted for consideration. The Senate has adopted the Free Conference Committee report on House Bill Number 157, amended Senate, making a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Revenue Treasury Management, effective date, and House Bill Number 157, thus adopting House Bill Number 157, amended Senate Free Conference Committee, with a new title. The Senate has passed House Bill Number 195, amended, providing for an advisory committee on judicial sentencing practices, effective date, with the following amendment. This has also been duplicated and placed on each member's desk. And so House Bill Number 195, amended Senate, new title, is transmitted for consideration. The Senate has passed House Bill Number 196, special appropriation to the Judicial Council, effective date, with the following amendment. Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 196 rules, and it is transmitted for consideration. The Senate adopted the report of the Free Conference Committee and the Conference Committee on House Bill Number 377 and Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 377, thus adopting House Bill Number 377, Conference Committee, making fiscal year 79 transfers of appropriation items for Department of Labor with an effective date. The Senate has passed the following, and they are transmitted for consideration. Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 145 by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, an act relating to implementation of the Alaska Coastal Management Program.
Community and Regional Affairs.
Senate Bill number 250 by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, an act continuing the existence of the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board and providing for an effective date.
Commerce, Judiciary, and Finance.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Communications.
No, Mr. Speaker.
I might note that there are quite a few bills that have been amended by the Senate and free conference committee reports that are on your desk, and one packet contains several amended House bills and free conference committee reports. We will be taking up quite a few of these under unfinished business today. Representative Elias.
Mr. Speaker, may we revert to introduction of guests?
Under introduction of guests.
Mr. Speaker, in Gallery A, we have the administrator of the Pioneer Home in Sitka, and she's also a member of our Sitka Borough Assembly, Roberly Potter.
Reports to standing committees.
The Committee on Resources has had committee substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution 14 relating to the development of national and state parks under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution 14 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miles, Chairman, co-chairman, concurred in by Miles, Halford, Chatterton, Carney, Cotton, Fuller, and Jaroff. Committee substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution 14 has no further referral. The Committee on Hess has had Senate Concurrent Resolution 25, directing the legislature to carry out a study of minority relations under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mrs. Buchholz, Chairman, concurred in by Buchholz, Barnes, Chatterton, Miles, and Munson. Senate Concurrent Resolution 25 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 53, Finance, the Budget, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with the House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 53 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Meekins, Chairman, concurred in by Meekins, Rogers, Freeman, Moss, Schaefer, Guy, McKinnon, Montgomery, Haugen, and Duncan. Having no recommendation, Smith. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 53, Finance, appears on today's calendar. The Committee on Resources has had Senate Bill 63, making a special appropriation to the Alaska Power Authority for the Susitna Hydroelectric Project, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 63, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miles, Chairman, Co-Chairman, concurred in by Miles, Osterbach, Co-Chairman, Chatterton, Jaroff, Fuller, Carney, and Cotton. Having no recommendation, Halford and Eliason. Senate Bill 63 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Judiciary has had Senate Bill 113 relating to the waste of wild food animals under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for Senate Bill 113 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, concurred in by O'Connell, Martin, Anderson, Phillip, Parr, and Buchholz. Mr. Brown signed no recommendation. Senate Bill 113 has no further referral. The Committee on Judiciary has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 171 relating to marine pilots under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, concurred in by Phillips, Martin, Barnes, Anderson, and Parr. Signing do not pass, O'Connell. Signing no recommendation, Buchholz. committee substitute for Senate Bill 171 has no further referral. The Committee on Finances had Senate Bill 202, a special appropriation from the International Airports Construction Fund to the Fairbanks International Airport, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, concurred in by Freeman, McKinnon, Smith, Rogers, Moss, Schaefer, Haugen, Montgomery, and Meekin. Senate Bill 202 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had Senate Bill 203, authorizing the issuance and sale of an additional $8,500,000 in revenue bonds for international airports, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, concurred in by Freeman, McKinnon, Smith, Rogers, Moss, Schaefer, Haugen, Montgomery, and Meekin. Senate Bill 203 has no further referral. The Committee on Hess has had House Concurrent Resolution 13 relating to older workers in state government, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 13 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mrs. Buchholz, Chairman, concurred in by Buchholz, Munson, Miles, Chatterton, and Barnes. House Concurrent Resolution 13 has no further referral. The Committee on Community and Regional Affairs has had House Joint Resolution 39, urging the President and Congress of the United States to retain the Federal General Revenue Sharing Program as presently constituted, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parker, Chairman, concurred in by Parker, Branson, Parr, Jaroff, O'Connell, and Metcalf. House Joint Resolution number 39 has no further referral. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Joint Resolution 40, commending the Legislative Assembly of the Province of British Columbia for its activities in support of a transcontinental rail connection, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miller, Chairman, concurred in by Miller, Eliason, Parker, Metcalf, and Martin. House Joint Resolution number 40 has no further referral. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Joint Resolution 41, commending the Washington State Senate for its support of a rail connection between Alaska and the lower 48, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miller, Chairman, concurred in by Miller, Eliason, Parker, Metcalf, and Martin. House Joint Resolution 41 has no further referral. The Committee on Hess has had House Bill 228 relating to health care services for needy persons, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 228 and reports it back without recommendation. The report was signed by Mrs. Buchholz, Chairman, and concurred in by Chatterton, Miles, Barnes, and Munson. Signing do not pass, Byrne. Signing do pass, Buchholz. House Bill 228 has no further referral. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 369 relating to participation in the public employees' retirement system, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 369 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miller, Chairman, concurred in by Miller, Eliason, Fuller, Metcalf, and Martin. House Bill 369 has no, 369 has a further referral to finance. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees.
The Free Conference Committee, which has had House Bill 157 and House Bill 157 amended Senate under consideration, recommends that House Bill 157 amended Senate Free Conference Committee making a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Revenue Treasury Management with an effective date be adopted. The report was signed by the Senate members, Holman Chairman, Ray, and Bennett, by the House members, Freeman Chairman, Rogers, and Hayes. I have no further special committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
Citation commending Alaska State Trooper Steve Jimmerfield for saving life of Alfred Woodmark by Representatives Duncan and Miller. House Resolution number 4 by Moss, Anderson, Branson, Buchholz, Freeman, Fuller, Haugen, Hurlburt, Montgomery, Parr, Roger Schaefer, and Smith relating to the Richardson Highway.
State Affairs.
House Concurrent Resolution 26 by Martin, Buchholz, Barnes, Byrne, Bettisworth, Carney, Chatterton, Cotton, Guy Halford, Hayes Hurlbert, McKinnon, Metcalf, Miles, Montgomery, Munson, O'Connell, Parr, Phillips, and Randolph, expressing the intent of the legislature to meet in Willow for the 1981 session.
State Affairs and Judiciary.
I have no further resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of House bills.
House Bill 469 by Martin, an act making the public members of the Alaska Coastal Policy Council subject to the state conflict of interest law.
State Affairs and Judiciary.
House Bill 470 by Metcalf, an act relating to speed limits.
Commerce.
House Bill 471 by Metcalf, an act relating to resident hire tax credit and providing for an effective date.
Finance.
House Bill 472 by Hurlbert, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for construction of a high school at Sheldon Point and providing for an effective date.
Hess and Finance. Representative Metcalf.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I've introduced a bill today that I worked on for quite some time, and it's a concept that I've had for quite some time in reference to Alaska Hire that I've been surprised hasn't been tried before. And there's been a constitutionality problem with Alaska Hire, and I think maybe that I'd like to ask the clerk to hold it us over and possibly even take it at ease, because it's a motherhood apple pie issue. Bill Barrier has suggested that this probably will withstand courtroom scrutiny and the constitutional tests that it will have to withstand, and I'd like to ask and possibly an at ease. I think there's an awful lot of members that would like to be on that bill.
Will the House please stand at ease? House, please come back to order. House, please come back to order. We've completed introduction, first reading, and reference of House bills, and it brings us to the consideration of the daily calendar. Representative Branson.
Mr. Speaker, there'll be a Republican caucus on recess.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House stand in recess to the call of the chair for the purpose of a party caucus.
If there's no objection, the House will stand in recess for the purpose of party caucus to the call of the chair. Will the House please come back to order? We are under down to the consideration of the daily calendar. Will the Chief Clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
House Bill number 317 by the Rules Committee by request of the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee, an act designating programs and activities for review and termination under AS 4466 and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Commerce has had House Bill 317 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 317 and reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Brown, Chairman, concurred in by Brown, Munson, and Bettesworth. Having no recommendation, Randolph, Malone, and Osterbach. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Excuse me, it was adopted yesterday.
I believe it was.
Yeah.
The committee substitute to House Bill 317 has been adopted. We are in second reading. Clerk, please read the First Amendment.
Amendment number one by the Finance Committee. And this one has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk. It starts with page 3 after line 4.
Representative Meekins.
Mr. Speaker, I move for the adoption of amendment number 1.
Amendment number 1 has been moved. Objection is noted. Representative Meekins.
Mr. Speaker, there's been a lot of discussion in our caucus, and I think in the other caucus, and also in the Finance Committee about the problems with the OSHA division under the Department of Labor, which is the division that is
responsible for the Occupational Safety and Health Act. The situation is that it's a federal law that normally would be applied, but there's a provision in the law that allows the state to opt in and provide state funds to run an OSHA program if the state wishes to. Normally, we do opt into these kind of ideas of these programs so that we have local control. And the point was brought up in Finance Committee that because there's a lot of federal money that goes into the OSHA division, and because of very stringent federal regulations, that even though the state's paying for a little less than half of the activities, we really don't have that local control to a large extent because the feds tell us what to do and we have to follow those regulations. So the point was made that if we're trying to save money, perhaps we should let the feds come in and take over the program since they're essentially setting down the guidelines for it. Let's let them pay for it. It seemed to be a fairly good idea, and we needed more information. In that regard, the Finance Committee's original action was to zero out the money, the state money for the OSHA program, and sort of assume that the feds would step in, and also hope that we would get some better information towards the end of the session. What happened was that we found out that it's a lot more complicated than that. There are some things that the state OSHA can do that the federal OSHA can't or won't do. In addition, there's a whole other question as to whether or not OSHA is doing a good job or a bad job. There seems to be some contradictory evidence. On the one hand, we find that there are complaints that small businesses are being harassed unmercifully, and that we have other complaints that that larger businesses are not, OSHA isn't doing their job towards larger businesses. So we have a sort of contradictory evidence. On the one hand, that they're being too stringent. On the other hand, they're being too lax. Also, we had some testimony and some people who believe very strongly that that OSHA did have these problems in the past, but that those problems have been remedied, and that the new people that are running the program are doing an excellent job and it's improved, and that we should let it go another year. So the Finance Committee's determination was, in consultation with the caucuses, that rather than zero out OSHA, which would for sure mean that the feds would come in, that what we should do is three-quarter fund them, that is, short fund them, look at it intensely in the interim, and the method we decided to to use for that would be the sunset review method, which is before us now. So the proposal here is to include OSHA in the sunset provision. I think this is a much better idea than just simply zeroing them, which could be irresponsible in the sense that we don't know what we'd get if we bought into the feds. If the feds come in, we don't have any control, even the little control that we have now. It could be worse, and the complaints that are being given might even be magnified. So rather than take that kind of a chance, we decided to see if we could look at it intensely, and if there are problems, specify what those problems are, and try to get some solutions for next year. And the sunset review, as everyone knows, is probably the absolute best vehicle for getting that kind of information. So I'd ask that the amendment be adopted.
Representative Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I really don't object to this amendment because I think probably it's a good thing to do with OSHA. However, I am under the understanding there's quite a few other amendments on the desk, which would bring in five or six other agencies. And I wanted to make the body aware of a problem that we're creating before we proceed on adopting any amendments. The legislative auditor has told me, or at least he told the Budget and Audit Committee, as we reviewed this legislation and made recommendations to the Commerce Committee, that they felt they could only do a certain number of audits in each interim. And eight or nine was the maximum that they thought they could do and do a good job on because of staff load, and if they're going to do the audit in depth. What we're doing by adding this amendment, of course, is adding one more agency. If we adopt this one, we may adopt the next one, which has two or three more in it, and the next amendment that has two or three more in it. And pretty quick, you've got legislative audit loaded up so that they can't really do the job, the sunset review, on any of the agencies and do it the way it should have been done. I tried to contact the legislative auditor this morning. Unfortunately, he's out of town. I think if we're going to be proposing, and if it's the wish of the body that we add agencies, we should at the same time be deleting. I don't think that we can add on and send a statute across it that mandates that the legislative auditor do 18 sunset reviews in the coming interim and expect them to do it. So before we vote, I'm not quite sure which direction to take on this. I think we're doing a lot of committee work on the floor. We don't know what the impact is. We don't know how long it's going to take to do the audits. I just want the body to have in mind the fact that we're adding on a number of agencies, and I don't think any of them are going to be done right. Perhaps we should hold this for a day, let me have a chance to contact the legislative auditor when he gets back in town tomorrow morning and determine what he thinks he can handle with his staff on the various amendments that are proposed, and then do a weeding process from there. May we have an adies, Mr. Speaker?
House, please send adies. The House, please come back to order. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill number 317 be referred to Rules Committee.
Object. Representative Brown.
Speaker, I objected for the purposes of discussion. The previous speaker before the adies raised some points that I only agree partly with. I think I'm familiar with some of the amendments that are on the clerk's desk. I think that they're mostly good amendments. I think the sunset process works. I think that there may be another remedy available. For one thing, Legislative Audit Division, my understanding, is already done a tremendous amount of work on the reviews that they have for next year. They're way ahead of where they were at this time last year. Also, if it's absolutely necessary, we do have the budget vehicle available. It's at least conceivable that we could add some staff to legislative audit if we think that there's an increased workload. But the policy decision with regard to inclusion of something in the sunset law is a very important policy decision that I think should be made first and then determine how it is to be accomplished. Also, there's another way of dealing with it in that all of the added sections, the members who are proposing amendments might think about this after I withdraw my objection, all of the proposed amendments need not have the boards and commissions and divisions of government that you indicate reviewed next year. I have an amendment to one of the amendments that would relate to that. I may propose it. And if the members proposing amendments would think about spreading that out so that you'll have a different effective date for your various sections, 80, 81, 82, and 83, then between that and also the budget considerations, we may still be able to address the policy decision about adding things to the sunset law, which I think is very good in principle as to most parts of government. With that, I withdraw my objection.
If there's no further objection,
House Bill 317 will be returned to the Rules Committee.
Clerk, please read the next item on the budget. On the calendar. Representative Randolph.
Yeah, can we reduce to reverse to introduction of guests for a moment, please?
Representative Randolph under
I
introduction
I was thinking
guests.
Of reducing the budget, and I got a little bit ahead of myself. There's a very good friend of mine in Gallery B who is down here. I'm not sure what he's doing, but I'd like to introduce to you friend of mine, a constituent of some of you from Anchorage, Steve Delizio.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, in order to clear the record, there are two members of the House that should have been placed on the record as excused from the call of the House today, and I want to clarify that by making the following motion. Move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Carney and Representative Metcalf be excused from the call of the House today.
This motion was passed once before, but it was not reflected in the journal, and the body has already passed this motion. There's no objection. Members will be excused. Plain time today. Will the clerk please read the next item on the calendar?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 53, financed by the Finance Committee. An act appropriating for the operating and capital expenses of the state government and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Finance has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 53 finance under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill 53 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Meekins, chairman, concurred in by Meekins, Rogers, Freeman, Moss, Schaefer, Guy, McKinnon, Montgomery, Haugen, and Duncan. Sally Smith has no recommendation. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 53 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection? There's no objection. The House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 53 is adopted. Are there amendments?
I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, may we have an at ease?
Will the House please stand at ease? Will the House please come back to order? The majority leader will be making a motion to recess to the call of the chair. Are there any announcements? Representative Meekins.
Mr. Speaker, there'll be a Finance Committee meeting immediately on recess.
Are there further announcements? Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House stand in recess to the call of the chair for the purpose of a House Finance Committee meeting.
If there's no objection, the House will stand in recess to the call of the chair. Will the House please come to order? Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, there will be a Democratic caucus on recess.
Are there any other announcements? Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the House stand in recess to the call of the chair for the purpose of a party caucus.
There's no objection. We'll stand in recess the call of the chair for purpose of party caucus. Will the House please come to order? Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House stand adjourned till 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
If there's no objection, the House is adjourned till 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.